To close our show, I'm going to read excerpts from an essay entitled "The United States is Not a Nation of Immigrants," published in the Boston Review on August 16, 2021. That essay itself was taken from Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz's book, Not a Nation of Immigrants, Settler Colonialism, White Supremacy, and a History of Erasure and Exclusion. Roxanne Dunbar Ortiz is an historian, writer, and professor emeritus in ethnic studies at California State University. She writes, "The United States has never been a nation of immigrants. It has always been a settler state with a core of descendants from the original colonial settlers, primarily Anglo-Saxons, Scots, Irish, and Germans. The vortex of settler colonialism sucked immigrants through a kind of seasoning process of Americanization, not as rigid and organized as the seasoning of Africans, which rendered them into human commodities, but effective nevertheless. In the 1960s, U.S. historians were having to adjust the historical narrative of the White Republic in response to Black civil rights demands for a reckoning about racism. But in the process of those adjustments and reforms, the settler state was never a subject of debate. As Mahmoud Mamdani writes, if America's greatest social successes have been registered on the frontier of race, the same cannot be said of the frontier of colonialism. If the race question marks the cutting edge of American reform, the native question highlights the limits of that reform." End quote. Attempts to quote-unquote include Native peoples as victims of racism further camouflage settler colonialism and constitutes a type of social genocide. The U.S. polity has been trying to rid itself of indigenous nations since first settlement. 400 years later, multiculturalism is the mechanism for avoiding acknowledgement of settler colonialism. Multiculturalism requires a revised narrative of U.S. history. For this scheme to work and to affirm U.S. historical progress, indigenous nations had to be somehow woven into the story. As territory and treaty-based peoples in North America, they do not fit the grid of multiculturalism, but were included by transforming them into an inchoate, oppressed racial group. The trend of quote-unquote third world immigration began with the 1965 immigration law, but accelerated with the Western nations' retreat from funding and supporting decolonization and nation building, which in turn accelerated debt, austerity, and famine abroad, and in the case of the United States, fronting and arming counterinsurgencies to prevent authentic self-determination, making the countries of origin unlivable. When migrants move, it's not out of idle fancy, or because they hate their homelands, or to plunder the countries they come to. They move because the accumulated burdens of history have rendered their homelands less and less habitable. The United States has not acted lawfully with other nations, including the Native American nations on its soil, through most of the 19th and 20th centuries. How can it now expect the human victims of that enormous illegality to obey the laws of the United States and stay home or wait 30 years for a visa to rejoin their families? Moroccan Muslim immigrant Leila Lalami, a prize-winning novelist, writer, and university professor, aptly titled her 2020 book, Conditional Citizens on Belonging in America. Lalami relates that she had no trouble with the citizenship test because she had taken courses on U.S. history, had studied its literature, and had become acquainted with the culture. She discovered quickly on arrival in the United States, however, that Americans knew nothing of her country's history or culture, although they knew the racist caricatures of Arabs and Muslims. As an immigrant, a woman, an Arab, and a Muslim, Lalami was made to feel like a conditional citizen. Lalami insightfully discusses the U.S. 19th century programs to erase the languages, cultures, and social relations practiced by indigenous peoples. She is alert to that process of Americanization being demanded of immigrants to the United States as well. But while making common cause between immigrants, especially immigrants of color, and Native Americans, she does not interrogate the role of immigrants in perpetuating settler colonialism. Dean Itouji Serranilio writes that migration to a settler colonial state is fraught because native land and resources, quote, are under political, ecological, and spiritual contestation, end quote, which means that immigrant communities can duplicate a colonial system initiated by white settlers. Without consciousness of and resistance to the pull of Americanism, the migrant can passively contribute to the continued settler colonial order. The desire to relieve the non-European migrant or descendants of enslaved Africans from responsibility is understandable, but not sustainable if the settler colonial foundation is to be eradicated, that is, the decolonization of the entire apparatus of the settler state. What would that entail? U.S. social movement organizer Claire Bayard captured the dilemma for most non-Indigenous activists, saying, "The difficulty that a lot of non-Native people have in imagining what unsettling would look like in this country is that it's not seen as a political possibility. We can't even imagine what that would look like." End quote. Immigrants and refugees from U.S. wars have an important role to play if there is to be change. Viet Thanh Nguyen observes that identity politics is treated as a slur, something to be avoided. It appears to be the one thing that many on the left and the solid right agree on. Nguyen writes, "To have no identity at all is the privilege of whiteness, which is the identity that pretends not to have an identity, that denies how it is tied to capitalism, to race, and to war." End quote. He calls on minorities to dissent from the terms that a regime of whiteness offers. Quote, "They must call forth anger and rage, demand solidarity and revolution, critique whiteness, domination, power, and all the faces of the war machine. And in particular for Southeast Asians, they who must insist that the war that defines them in America is not only their war, but a war made by white people, a war that is not an aberration, but a manifestation of a war machine that would prefer refugees to think that their stories are immigrant stories. We must also tell the war stories that made ghosts and made us ghosts, the war stories that brought us here." I'm Patricia Kohlberg, your Well-Read Red, and I've been reading excerpts from Not a Nation of Immigrants, Settler Colonialism, White Supremacy, and a History of Erasure and Exclusion by Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz. A link to a longer version of this essay, published in Boston Review, can be found on the webpage for this segment.